Love on the Brain, written by Lizzie Bezizes, narrated by Rhea314, fandom 911, rating mature, pairing Henrietta Hen Wilson, Karen Wilson. No archive warnings apply. This is earnest work. Each of us is given only so many mornings to do it, to look around and love. Mary Oliver, the deer. Hen first hears about it at dinner. "So?" Karen says, apprehension all over her face. "Are they doing that calendar this year?" Hen scrapes green beans onto her plate without looking. A few fall to the floor, which distracts her from Karen's initial tone and expression as she wrangles them into a napkin. "What calendar?" "The firefighter calendar." "They do that every year." "Are you going to submit something?" Hen has sort of a record scratch moment. She definitely had not been considering subjecting herself to such misery. "The only people who buy those are middle-aged women and gay guys." She laughs. "They're not exactly flipping through those things looking for me." Karen scoffs. "I would." "I would hope so, we're married," Hen chides. She leans over the table on her elbows to get a closer look at Karen. The lights of the dining room make her glow, as does any lighting anywhere. "And besides, it's literally called Hot Days, Smoldering Nights, Men of the LAFD Wall Calendar. It reduces people to what they look like, not to mention it's insultingly sexist to consider firefighters as only male." And that's it. The second time, it's a week later on a Saturday night. They're in bed. They went a quick round, one that made them both sweat so much they'll have to sneak into the shower again before falling asleep. Her head is cushioned against Karen's shoulder, her arm lazily over her hips. Karen's fingers are scratching over Hen's head meticulously, lovingly. "Love you," Hen says, when her brain is less fuzzy from the orgasm. She kisses every inch of skin her lips can reach without moving too much. "Holy shit, that was good, baby." "Good, 'cause my wrist hurts." Hen reaches over for Karen's other hand and presses a kiss to the inside of her palm, then to every one of her fingers. "There, it's better now," she says, sweetness being the perfect remedy to her wife's dramatics. "Do you kiss all your patients better, too?" "Only the pretty ones." "Speaking of work," Karen shimmies down the bed, dislodging Hen's head. Both of them had laid on the same pillow, bodies curled toward one another like a pair of parentheses. "You didn't submit anything for that calendar, did you?" It's odd, she thinks, that Karen would bring it up another time after Hen had been so adamant about why it's a disgrace. "Unless..." "You want me to, don't you?" Hen guesses. And by the way Karen tenses, she's right. "You want to see me all wet from the hose, covered in dirt? Maybe some soot on my nose, a big fire in the background?" "Shut up," she grumbles. "No, no, this is good." She nods mock seriousness. "What the soccer moms and the gay men that buy these things need is me, a lesbian, over the month of May. I'd tank the sale, they'd fire me. Let's kiss financial stability goodbye now before it's too late." "I think you're more of a November." Karen shrugs as best she can with half her body cushioned by their mattress. "It's for the best. I don't want anyone seeing you all." "Wait." Hen blinks at her. "You want me to submit my photos?" When Karen nods, she continues. "But you don't want anyone else to see me all sexy," Karen snaps. I don't want anyone else looking at my wife the way only I can look at you. Wait, I'm confused. You do want me to, or you don't want me to? Karen makes a loud, frustrated noise, as if the fact that Hen can't read her mind is the downfall of her existence. Ugh, she groans. She flips over onto her back and greedily bunches the blankets up with her. I don't know. Hen scoots up behind her so they can spoon. She's not ready for the skin-to-skin contact to end, even as the damp sheets around them grow more uncomfortable to lay in by the second. If there's something you want, you can ask me for it, she reminds her gently. Karen reaches out to grab Hen's arm to secure it around her the way she likes. Her hair is all up in Hen's face, but she's not complaining. They're pressed together as closely as two people could possibly get, without being physically inside each other. Hen's face to Karen's neck, her knees to the backs of Karen's legs. It's a paradise to her. I want to bask in the afterglow for 5 more minutes, then shower, then bed. Hen kisses her shoulder, leaves her nose there to breathe in the scent of her body lotion. Coconut and vanilla, the same expensive kind Hen got her for her birthday a few years ago. She's been using the same exact one ever since. Okay. The third time around, Karen isn't even subtle about it. It's not even a day later before she's cornering Hen in their kitchen, a wild look in her eyes. She's got red imprints from her nap on the couch. She grips Hen's biceps tight in her own hands. It's as if she woke up from a nightmare and is still walking inside of it. Did you do it? Hen carefully sets down the plate she was putting away and reaches up to hold Karen's wrists, gingerly, rubbing the paper-thin skin over the knobs of bone there to soothe her. Do what? Submissions are due today. Hen's mouth drops open. From their conversation yesterday, it sounded a lot like Karen wanted the photos, but not the peeping toms and perverts that come along with them. She thought they were on the same page, and now it's too late. No, I didn't. I thought it seemed like you didn't want me to. She wants to ask where all this is coming from. Karen can see her body anytime she wants to. They take pictures of each other all the time. The locked albums and app passcodes are their saving grace. It's literally nothing Karen hasn't seen before. Something the rest of the world never will. Karen's hands drop. Oh. With that, she's gone. Athena eyes Hen dubiously. Let me see if I understand. Hen reached out to the only person who could possibly understand. Chimney was out. Karen might already have complained about her to her own best friend. Buck and Eddie were a very resounding no from the start for obvious reasons. Bobby would be kind, but would get all stiff and awkward. I know I'm asking for a lot. Athena holds her hands up to stop her from rambling. You want me to take nude photos of you. For Karen. Not nude, Hen corrects quickly. Just sec... She clears her throat. Sexy photos. Okay. Her friend shrugs nonchalantly, sipping from her glass like everything's normal. Really? Hen questions. That's it. All you have to say is, okay. Athena scoffs in exasperation. What do you want me to say? Are you sure I can hire someone? Now why would you do that? Athena rolls her eyes and sips at her wine. You're gonna overpay someone to shoot all your worst angles and get fancy with the lighting. Hen deflates dramatically into her chair. You're right. She looks at her friend sincerely. Thank you. Athena pats her hand consolingly. I'll bring my cuffs and baton. We can dress you up like an officer. Hen only hopes she is joking. Hen is not some blushing virgin. She went to college, for Christ's sake. There's a reason Denny and Harry used to swap out weekends of sleepovers, and it is not so they could bake cookies together. She's had the bruises of a harness over her hips since she turned 17. Now, why are you making that face? Athena came over the next morning, when Hen was sure Karen had gone to work and Denny was off to school. They set up the tripod in the bedroom, planning on taking the photos for November, December, and January there on Hen's phone. Hen gawks at her. What's wrong with my face? They're both grown women. Hen is sure Athena knows some of the ways that two women have sex with each other. Even then, with the strap peeking out of Hen's pants, she's a little self-conscious. No one besides Karen and the few serious girlfriends she's had has ever seen Hen this vulnerable. The first outfit is simple. A black, boxy tank top with her work slacks pulled slightly down so that the leather is visible. There's a bulge where the plastic toy is pressed uncomfortably tight to her thigh. The buttons and zipper undone, belt unclipped and hanging uselessly in the air. Karen always grabs her ass when her uniform is on. There is some kind of correlation there that Hen wanted the essence of. Athena snaps her fingers as she looks at Hen through the lens of the phone camera. Pull the pants down a little more. At Hen's hesitance, Athena sighs heavily. I have seen worse than your pelvis, Henrietta. Come on. The next few aren't any less intimate. For February is Hen sitting on the bed with her legs spread, a small pillow covering her groin from the camera. She's wearing a deep red satin slip dress. She wanted to play up her once-a-year pillow princess tendencies, and no better to do that than the month of love. Athena suggests being naked under their bed covers for March and April. Hen adjusts so that her breasts are completely covered, pulling her knees up to set her feet on the mattress per Athena's request. Here. Something is tossed onto the blanket. Put these on. They're pink and velvet lined, big enough to slip out of if necessary. There's a thick metal chain between each bracelet, at least 5 rungs for maximum space. They're made for sex and sex only, that much is obvious. Hen's eyes widen. Are they? Do you seriously think I'd give you a pair of handcuffs that I use on your boss? She cringes immediately at the image that clouds all of her thoughts. She knows what the sour expression on her face must look like because Athena's eyes only narrow. Hen can't help it. That's more information about Bobby than she has ever wanted and needed to know. I have my own cuffs, Hen shoots back, rubbing the back of her neck anxiously. You got the key to these. Athena nods and Hen lets out the breath she hadn't realized she was holding. They live within the 118's radius. She knows that Chimney and Eddie are on shift this very second. The last thing she needs is for them to have to cut her out of some sex cuffs. She'd never emotionally recover. Hook one to the bed frame, the other around your wrist. Put the other arm over the comforter over your stomach. Hen's face heats up. It's to allude to her touching herself, which is not a thing she'd ever think of within Athena or anyone else besides her wife's vicinity. She forces herself to relax as Athena takes a few photos. For the second month of this session, Athena helps Hen click the handcuff onto the other wrist for her to hold over her head. After Athena unlocks her wrists and Hen is rubbing the raw skin tickled by the pink fuzz over the metal cuffs, she asks, "Did you bring your gear?" "What?" Hen asks dumbly. Athena looks through the photos with a look of approval, nodding her head minutely, favoriting the ones she likes. Your gear. Turnouts, suspenders, anything? Hen tries to imagine the conversation that would ensue if any of her coworkers caught her sneaking her gear out of the station. It would go something like a lot of denying, a lot of teasing, and Hen's transfer papers on Bobby's desk. "No," she says slowly. "Lord." Lathina lets out a breath. "That's okay. I have an artistic idea." The idea in question ends up with both of them inside the bathroom. Athena thought it would be nice to get a few of Hen's body through the glass, posed through the crystals of the door. It's just blurry enough to be ambiguous, and the steam clouding the area. The next few are basic. There's another of Hen in purple lingerie, Hen holding the base of the strap on with it actually out of her pants, Hen laying belly down, ass up on the bed, Hen lounging in pajamas with a vibrator casually thrown on the bed next to her, for a casual one. Athena knows more about her sex life than either of them have ever wanted to know. She's grateful nonetheless. It was either Athena or Chimney, and Chimney would screech at the very idea of a strap-on. He has a very embarrassing story about being pegged in community college, and Hen wouldn't want to dig that memory up while he's sober. Really, it was a non-issue who to confide in. When they're wrapped up, Hen thanks Athena with a glass of wine and takeout over Downton Abbey reruns. When she's gone, Hen submits the layout to the most discreet calendar-making company she can find. Once it's ordered, she heaves out a hefty breath of relief. All she has to do is give it to Karen. 2 weeks later, when the notification goes off that the package has arrived, Hen's coffee goes down the wrong pipe and she ends up spitting half of it over the table. "Hen," Buck whines, "you spit on my book. Are you good?" She hits a fist against her chest twice and clears her throat. She gratefully accepts the glass of water that Buck slides across the table to her, soothing away the scratchy feeling in her throat. "Great," she wheezes. "I'm fine." "Okay," he says suspiciously. One thing about Buck, he will push. "What's going on?" A part of her forgot how to be shameless. The slutty part says this is a fantastic idea and that Karen is going to love it. The other part of her mind is degrading her for spending money on something so silly. If it goes bad, she wasted an opportunity to get her wife a good anniversary gift. Hen glares at him. "Nothing. Karen's anniversary present came in, that's all." Buck's eyes light up happily. It's the wrong thing to say, she realizes. He snaps his book shut and sets his chin on the palm of his hand, elbow perched on the table, giving her his full attention. "What did you get her? Flowers? An edible arrangement?" Hen has never been more grateful for Eddie's nosiness in her life. "There is nothing romantic about an edible arrangement." Buck swivels around and shoots Eddie the glare of a thousand suns. "Hey, I'll have you know." Then he's gone, and Hen can hear them bickering as she sends Denny the text instruction to not, under any circumstances, open the package, and gets up to find something to clean the rest of her spittle coffee mess. When Karen steps out of the shower that night, Hen slips into the bathroom. The calendar is safely stored away. Denny is fast asleep. She checked before coming in here, kissing his forehead and shutting the door quietly. Everything is locked up. The only thing left for Hen to do is this: be with Karen. She takes in the soft curves of Karen's body, of all the places Hen's hands have curled and pushed into for years upon years. She watches her long twists dangle against the wet skin of her back as she dries herself off. Her plush lips, her collarbones, her delicate ankles. Hen's eyes follow the movements of the towel from the top of her body to the bottom, refamiliarizing herself with the places she hasn't seen in a while. Years of marriage means Karen doesn't pay Hen's blatant ogling any mind. They've seen everything from each other. the gross, dirty, and ugly. They've been together for every stomach flu, every gassy night, crying in snotty tears, for the last 11 years. Yet, Hen wants her. She's seen the worst of Karen and loves absolutely every second of it. Loving Karen is the best thing about her, the best thing she's allowed herself to do after years of hurting and waiting without her. Hen has her. Hen wants Karen's thighs over her shoulder, squeezing her head while Hen locks her into completion. Wants her nails digging to Hen's back. Wants their bed to shake with the weight of Karen's pleasure. Marriage never changed that. It never put a dent in Hen wanting Karen near her every waking second. It never made their love falter. It's grown from a budding bulb into a colorful flower garden. "See something you like?" Karen asks dryly, shooting her a look as she wraps a towel around her body. Hen smiles softly at her. "I see something I love." She reaches out and tugs the towel back off Karen's body, soaking it all up again. Karen sighs in exasperation. She doesn't try to fight it when Hen drags her over to the mirror and pushes her up against the sink, so her belly is against the rim of it. There is condensation everywhere, both of them damp from the shower air. Hen presses her chest to Karen's back, wrapping her arms around her waist and trapping her into the small space. "I got you something." "On a Thursday?" She kisses a line up Karen's neck, letting her hand trail up the sensitive skin over her ribs. "We have work tomorrow. It's not that." She meets Karen's unimpressed glare in their blurry reflection and chuckles. "All right, it's half that. Think of it more as a pre-anniversary gift." There's a curious glint in Karen's eyes. She presses back into Hen, who takes her weight easily. She loves it, loves feeling Karen against her in this way. As Karen speaks, Hen works on sucking a mark into the back of her neck. "How did you manage to half buy a sex toy?" Hen hums into her skin, getting her a soft noise that makes goosebumps rise over her forearms. "It's not... well, let's put a pin in that. But it's not a new toy. Get dressed and I'll give it to you." After Karen slips into her silly matching pajamas, they slowly retire to bed. Well, slowly on Hen's part. Karen sits patiently waiting on her side of the bed in anticipation for her surprise. It's not that she doesn't want to make her wife happy. It's not that she thinks Karen will judge her, either. Hen is only building up the moment, she tells herself. She takes a deep breath and retrieves the package from under their bed. Karen is giddy as she rips it open. She squirms to get all the plastic off before examining the front. The title reads, "For Karen, LA's Finest." Hen watches as Karen flips through it. There's a giant smile over her wife's face as she takes in each and every photo. It was worth it just for that, Hen thinks. Just to see her beam brighter than every star she's ever studied. "Come here," Karen sets the calendar on her bedside table. Once Hen crawls onto the bed, she's pulled right down on top of Karen, falling easily between her open legs. Karen wraps her up and squeezes, peppering wet kisses all over Hen's face, making her giggle. She's filled with love for her wife. Karen isn't a woman of many words. She shows her love in other ways, like doing Hen's laundry and keeping her company while Hen cooks. Hen knows she likes it by her expression alone. It's enough to make her melt. Hen sighs happily. "Do you like it?" she asks anyway, wanting to hear her say it. "You're beautiful, baby." Karen cups Hen's cheeks and finally kisses her on the lips. "I love it. Thank you." Karen hangs it up in their shared walk-in closet behind the door. When Hen sees it, she bursts into a fit of laughter. "Honey, why did you put this here? I don't want me staring at me while I get dressed. Well, I do. The real me can just stare at you. Karen shuts the door to the closet behind her. There's a spark in her eyes, one Hen is intimately aware of having before the top 10 greatest sex moments of her life. She's pulled closer by the hips, Karen's hands branding the skin there. She lets Karen bully her body, for she is malleable under the love in Karen's movements. And what if I want you to do more than just stare? I think we can arrange that. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.